Hello and good morning, everyone. How are we doing today on this happy Monday? My name is Alex. Welcome to the Two Coffee Teachers Podcast.
Hey, and I'm Josh. We are two young educators, Alex and I, who want to contribute to our field as much as possible. On this podcast, we talk about education and relevant content to apply in our classrooms. It is our hope in that this podcast can also encourage educators without needing that second cup of coffee.
If you're new to the podcast, welcome. For all of our regular subscribers, hello. Thank you for tuning in once again as we are here on episode number 17. Hard to believe that we've been working on this for a grand total of, about 34, 35 weeks now.
Yeah, so how many episodes are we short of doing this for a year? Math. We'll figure that out later. If you're new to the podcast, you'll quickly find out that Alex and I come from a social studies background.
If that wasn't evident
in that moment right there.
We do have several math teachers that do like to participate with our social media, and they sometimes give us a hard time. But
they often give us a hard time, yeah. I think.
I think that is pretty frequent. But anyway, if you are new, hi, thanks for joining us this week on the podcast. We're happy to have you.
Hey, for today's main topic, we're going to be covering podcasting in the classroom, which is funny because that's what we're doing right now.
Is podcasting.
So finding out how to use this medium that we're all engaging in right now in the classroom in unique ways. But today, before we jump into that, we're going to jump in our preliminary segment. And Alex, it's August. Not August, I'm sorry. It's April.
It's April.
And, April's the time of year where you need to get vaccinated for senioritis.
Bum, bum, bum.
You know?
I would say you need to get vaccinated in, like, November, December, and then let it kick in, let it settle it. Like, you know how you're supposed to get your flu shot August, September?
Yeah, you need to encourage your students. You need
like 3 months later.
You need to encourage your students to get vaccinated for senioritis because it runs rampant among seniors, especially in high school, in the last semester of their high school career.
And even in, I think the itis counts even for, not necessarily just high school, but for our fifth graders, for our eighth graders.
Yeah,
on the cusp. Really for any, it's almost like, even a senioritis, it's almost just a summer is coming itis.
Right.
You're in the dog days of March and April where, you know, the weather's finally starting to turn. Kids are wanting to be outside playing with their buddies instead of sitting inside working on a paper or doing a lesson or anything like that.
Yeah, and imagine those seniors, right, who are on the cusp of finishing their education. They'll feel like they can do whatever they want, or college is the next step, or work is the next step, and they're eager to move on. And your class is the only thing holding them back, and they're can be so apathetic sometimes.
Well, let's think back to our days as high schoolers. This is going to be a scary conversation because this is now approaching the 5-year anniversary of our graduation from high school.
Yeah, well.
Which is mind-blowing to me.
I got invited to my 5-year reunion the other day.
Ooh, I know mine will be coming up probably around Thanksgiving time is when our high school usually has the 5-year just because a lot of kids come back into town.
I mean, that you know, for your veteran teachers out there, you're like, oh, you guys only got a 5-year reunion. I know. But for us, it's a big deal. Like, it's interesting. But
it's a huge deal. See, I mean, we'll be seeing people that a lot of our friends that we've been staying in touch with, so I don't think it would be that huge. I'm really looking forward to the 10-year where you really see how some students or some
changed
kids have
after.
Changed drastically or are doing big things or maybe fell off the map.
The best time in life for people watching.
But bringing it back
anyway.
To how this affects with our students, I mean, we were seniors at one point in time, so we both can admit that we had senioritis.
And I think
As high school seniors.
Sure, and I think to a point we're kind of equipped to talk about this because we're far enough removed and have gone through enough education to understand the teacher's perspective, but we can remember the senior year relatively well. So I think we're in a good position to put out some tips on how to handle seniors with senioritis in your classroom.
We might even be able to make the argument, maybe our professors don't want to hear this, but we might even make the argument that we are experiencing senioritis ourselves as we are approaching the countdown, only a couple days away now from graduating with our master's degrees.
Yeah, no kidding. Way to put that in perspective.
Yeah. Kind of a very nostalgic episode we have here as we're only a couple of minutes in right now.
Yeah. Okay, so, Alex.
Yeah.
You got like a week or two. You're down to the wire with your students that got senioritis. You know, I know you're working in an elective right now, so students have elected to be there, but how do you keep them engaged through the summer craze?
Yeah, sure. So, obviously, or maybe not obviously, I'm not sure if we've really talked about our current placements on the podcast. We talked a lot in previous episodes with our middle school, but with me in high school, I have a class of about 18 seniors. It's a modern affairs elective. So all the students at the beginning of the year, again, chose to take this course.
Sure.
Not because they had to, not because it was highly or strongly recommended by their school counselors, but because they were interested in the content. They were interested in talking about current events, things that were going on in the world, having those conversations and learning about it, but also because obviously the host teacher who was offering the course was someone who would have been a lot of fun to take a class with, a really fun facilitator that promotes learning in a positive way. So knowing that off the bat, that is going to be helpful and motivating, again, because students want to be there. It's not like this is a required class that the state of Virginia is forcing these kids to take, okay? You don't have a lot of leaning on the class, so that could be a negative as well, just because maybe the students say, well,
there's less push on it, yeah.
Forget it, right? But I think ultimately, you know, as a teacher, if you keep it relevant to their lives, you understand the situation that they're in. So if you're able to create different activities or learning goals where the students get excited, the students feel engaged, they feel like you're on their side, then they'll give that back to you. And again, that's something that you practice and that you work on just from day one back in August.
Yeah.
You know, if you give it your all, then the students will reciprocate that. And they'll work hard for you too.
I mean, I
think that can apply at any point this school year, regardless of if they're seniors or if they're high school freshmen.
Yeah, and I think that's like the main thing you're really hitting on is stay engaging. Game's not over yet. You're in the final innings, but the game's not over yet. I know in a particular placement I'm in, I'm working with seniors as well. Some of them are college-bound, but some of them are not college-bound, and they're, you know, this may be the last time they're in a formal education setting. So stay engaging. Learning is fun. It is relevant. And one of my themes as a teacher is why I want to encourage my students to be lifelong learners, you know, actively engaged citizens. So whatever I can do winding down that relates to them keeps them toned in. My hooks are getting a little crazy. I'm having to stretch a little bit to get them engaged in the beginning. My anticipatory sets have been more extravagant as I start the day. I started the other day yesterday. I was teaching my court procedures, and I played that clip from A Few Good Men. Have you seen that movie?
Oh, for sure.
Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. Tom Cruise is the prosecutor. Jack Nicholson's on the stand. Tom Cruise is saying, "I deserve the truth." Jack Nicholson goes, "Do you want the truth?" Tom Cruise says, "I think I deserve the right to know the truth." And Jack Nicholson goes, "You can't handle the truth." And I slam the desk and go, "Boom! You can't," you know, just like, get into it, man. Be excited about what you're teaching.
I'm just startled sitting across from you listening to it right now. And I think all of our listeners are going to be startled when they hear that big old boom on that desk.
Yeah.
Too.
Right?
It's all about the energy, you know.
Yeah.
If you can bring energy to your kids, if you care about your kids,
invigorate them with your energy. Senioritis is contagious, but so is your attitude, so is your energy.
I like that contagiousness, the attitude, the energy. Keep that flowing, keep that exciting. For any of our teachers out there, if you have kids with senioritis, are you struggling with them? Or what strategies are you implementing to kind of get those kids motivated as we're coming down the home stretch? Feel free to chime in, give us a call or tweet at us or visit our Facebook group, and we can have that conversation in a future episode.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's move ahead into our conversation about podcasting in the classroom, okay? So we've been podcasting for about coming up on a year, but yeah, we've been going at it for many months now. We've used our podcast and intertwined it into our own classes.
Yeah.
We've used our podcast at a conference to kind of build on that. We had conversations about how we could use podcasting.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, technology is becoming more and more relevant in classes all across the country, okay?
Yeah.
Teachers, subject development heads and coordinators, superintendents, everyone's trying to figure out how we can use technology to benefit our students and make the learning process a little bit more fun. Okay?
And, you know, this is something that we have covered on the podcast before. It is something we have discussed. And that's kind of a theme about podcasting. Like, the idea of it is not new, all right? Radio, the audio medium, is not an old concept. But we're in a time in history when people have such a higher capacity to record and publish and share material that podcasting is making a comeback. Like, the audio medium is coming back. Radio shows like we're doing here are making a comeback like they didn't have before.
They're convenient too.
Yeah.
So with a radio show, for example, you know, I'll give NPR a shout out here. I really like NPR. I also really like TED Ed.
Yeah.
I'm listening to those kinds of mediums. But the one problem with radio shows, or with maybe even a TV show sometimes, is that depending on what platform you're listening off of,
sure.
If you miss the show, then sometimes you just miss the show. That's it.
Yeah.
Maybe you can go onto that website and you can find like a recap from a segment. Maybe that show does offer a hard audio file where you can go online, you can listen to
it. Yeah, sure, sure.
But with a lot of different of those platforms, it's hard to go back and listen to it if you miss initial airtime, you know?
Yeah.
What I really like about podcasts is that, especially, again, depending on what device you're using it off of, is that it goes straight to your phone or it goes straight to your whatever your audio player is.
Right.
Right? So if you're busy on a Monday morning when Two Coffee Teachers comes out, then on that first or third Monday of the month, or on that alternating Monday of the month, then maybe I can put that aside and I'll have that notification on my phone for a couple days later.
Uh-huh. I think it also works really well in that vein of being episodic, like you talked about. It creates an opportunity for creative storytelling. The first thing that comes to mind when I think of storytelling with a podcast is the podcast Serial. Are you familiar with that one, Alex?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Serial is the most popular, most downloaded podcast of all time. And if you're not familiar with it, the premise is that the host and a series of researchers present a case that is complicated, a criminal case that is complicated. They recently covered in the most recent season Bo Bergdahl, the man who went AWOL and left his unit but was in captivity with the Taliban for 5 years. And so does he deserve punishment? After being AWOL for 5 years? And what happens is that we can use this kind of thing in the classroom for critical thinking. We can use this to listen and focus in a new way that we didn't have prior. There are lots of different kinds of learners. People learn by listening, just as I might learn watching something or reading something, right? People learn in different ways. So hearing things through audio is a unique avenue that I don't think we utilize as much. When I'm talking, I'm using an audio volume, but I may be paying attention to me, the person speaking, not the words as much coming out. You know what I mean? And so I think sometimes it provides an opportunity to focus on the words and be attentive in ways that a conventional, maybe lecture-style classroom doesn't have as much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that makes sense. I really like how, again, it provides that, like you said, it's that opportunity to create that visual story in your mind, and you do it in a setting where you are most comfortable too.
Yeah. So let's talk for a second about using it in the classroom. So maybe we got a listener out there that's saying, Josh, Alex, that's great. I'm glad you guys love podcasting. How do I use this in my classroom in a way that isn't having them listen to Serial, because Serial is addicting, and if you listen to one, you got to listen to all of them, right?
Sure.
So how do we use that in the classroom? Here's my pitch to you, right? The first thing to consider is cost.
Yeah.
Right? There are several ways that you can record audio. In an era where most of our students have smartphones, a lot of them can download an app and do audio recordings with their earbud microphone and then produce that episodically in a podcast format.
Yeah, I like that too. And especially since many schools around the country now provide devices for students, those applications can be on those iPads or on those Google thingy-mabobbers.
The Google thingy-mabobbers,
yeah. So it's easy for kids to do that. It's not something that they necessarily have to do at home either. They have that opportunity.
And, you know, if it's you know, like a creative piece and you want it to be dramatic and it's maybe sound good, maybe sound's an issue, you can do kind of like what we do and download, like, the right software, invest in the equipment, what is that called? The sound breaker pad in front of the microphone.
Oh,
you know what
filters,
I mean?
Filters, yeah.
Filter, the pop filters, right? Things like that. Those are feasibly investable. And most of them, you know, you invest in it once. You don't really need a new one if you take care of it for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, the equipment itself is relatively manageable in cost. You know, I wouldn't get maybe a lollipop mic and a pop filter and a computer for every student, right? Go one-to-one in podcasting technology. But, like, it is something that students have access to in the simplest form and is cost-effective for a good set of equipment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that makes it really applicable. Maybe one thing we can do this week on social media is kind of post what we use, what equipment we use, or what we started using at the lowest level. And maybe that's something teachers can use in their classroom if they want to do something with podcasting in any form. So, Alex, let me ask you, kind of in the vein of using this in the classroom, how would you specifically use podcasting in your classroom?
I would use it as a supplementary activity or resource, right?
Okay.
So something that I really enjoyed in high school was in my AP calculus class. Okay?
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so we're going way back. So what my teacher did, he did this for both – or he did this for a variety of different things.
Right.
Either when he was out of school, when there's a substitute there, which actually was somewhat frequent because he was a department head. He was a fantastic teacher. So this
he had a
guy,
lot of extra responsibilities.
Yeah, so that drew him out of the school sometimes. Sometimes when there was a snow day, so we were not present in the building, or if there was maybe a day where a lot of kids were going to be out because of a field trip,
mm-hmm.
or even when we just had extra homework or extra classwork opportunities. What he would do was he would go on his smart board, he would put up problems, and he could record a video on that smart board. So it's kind of like what you can do on a laptop now, where it's essentially a video of a screenshot of whatever you're doing
sure.
on that. But then he added that audio thing. So he would talk his way through practice problems
and
talk
sync
his way
the audio to it,
lesson
yeah.
plan. So what he would do then would upload it to his YouTube channel, and then we would have to sign in and comment to make sure that we watched it. But he could also keep track of which viewers subscribed and which viewers watched it too. So he was very sneaky with that. But the same idea I would want to use in my classroom, okay? So maybe not to the extent of videos or that visual sense, because in social studies, the visual might not be as important as what you're discussing.
Maybe we're compared to like the
at least compared to math.
Maybe math where you have to work out and show work, right?
So that would be a great way, something great that I could do. The same thing could happen. You know, we have our technology with us just from our thing. So, or just from our podcast experience. You know, if I know I'm going to be out, I can just do a quick episode at home. I can upload it to our school page.
And share it.
And then share it. Or
right.
even create that channel that students follow, and then it just automatically downloads to their phone.
Right.
Whether it be maybe it's an extra resource, maybe I am telling a story of a historical event, and then the students can create questions based on that event. That's fun for me because I get to have that sense of acting or that sense of dialogue where I can tell a story that is content related. But the kids could have fun maybe with me listening to me goof around a little bit and put myself in the shoes of someone else.
Right, absolutely. And I think, like, you know, you mentioned about it being feasible to just get it on your phone and have easy access to it. I think about, like, our students who are very involved. Maybe they have sport. Maybe they're the president of a club or something like that. And they may not have time to do homework if they're on the varsity team and they don't play till 7. You know what I mean? But they're traveling to get there, right? With an audio medium like that, they can put us in their ears when they can, when they're driving, when they're waiting for the game, like whatever, right? They, like, for the busy students, we're giving them a way that they can learn and focus while multitasking. You know, not maybe they may not be doing something while they're doing it, but it's easier than putting a flashlight with an open textbook on the bus ride on the way back at 10:30 p.m. after you played a game. You know what I mean? Like, it might be an easier way to gain content for students who don't have as not the capacity, but the option all the time. You know what
I
mean?
Sure.
Or even students that work. You know, I have a lot of students in the school I'm working with now who work, but they can listen to music. You know, so after school they got to go right to work. But if they're listening to an audio medium of me going over material, right, that they can get a podcast update for every, you know, every week that I can review all the content.
Yeah. Now, I think it's important if we do that, because we discuss using that as a way for maybe as a makeup thing. We also need to just make sure that I think that students don't rely on the podcast. I think we've in past episodes we've talked about different learning strategies as tools, not as the end-all, be-all.
Yeah.
So one thing that I maybe would think of is if a student maybe knows that they have a game or they're going to miss a class, then they know, oh, well, Mr. Parker, Mr. Twiri are going to do the podcast updates, so I can tune out, I can disengage from what we're doing in that class.
Yeah, may it be a handicap, but something they rely on, but a tool that supplements their learning.
Yeah, so that's something I think teachers might have to think about a little bit. Maybe that there's a password key where you have to get a certain amount of participation
or to get
that extra story. Or maybe make it incentive-based where if you have the fun story or if you are, in fact, doing a lecture for that day, then there's something that the students have to do prior to gaining access to that podcast. Just something to think about. But,
you know,
again, if you manage your classroom well, you won't have those issues. But
I think, like, the other thing I want to say about this, Alex, I think is important, is that, you know, like, as an using podcasting as an alternative formative assessment. I have a lot of students I work with right now who are reading on a lower level, but they can articulate to me that they understand the concept. They may not be able to write it, though.
Oh, for sure.
Like, that's a very real, very realistic issue in the classroom. And so what an audio medium like this may be able to do is that I can give them the opportunity to show me they understand, so I get my check for understanding that isn't handicapped by maybe their what they're dealing with as far as their ability to write or their reading level or something like that. You know what I mean? They get it, and I get that check, but I'm not limiting that student in their expression. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think that's something that could work really, really well, and it's something I'm trying to implement kind of in my last days here in my current teaching placement. But it's a really, really cool medium that I think we have the opportunity to utilize much more than we are now. And I think you'll find educators out there that podcasting is on the rise.
No, I agree.
It's growing at a rapid rate in the marketplace, and it's going to be a medium that sticks around.
For sure. I think it will stick around, too, and it's cool because we have extensive experience with podcasting as we enter our jobs wherever we may end up at some point. So this is something that we can definitely bring into into our interviews and into our schools wherever we end up, and then maybe use our background to help other teachers get their own sort of podcast strategy implemented.
Absolutely.
In their own rooms.
If you ever want to talk about podcasting, you can definitely reach out to us on social media. You can even reach out to us on our own Twitter channel. Send us a direct message if anything like that comes up. We'd be glad to talk to you about that. I think it's something that Alex and I are both passionate about. And, you know, as teachers, we love to teach and help other teachers. So
yeah, for sure. So those different things. So our Facebook group is called Two Coffee Teachers. Our Twitter handle is @2CoffeeTeachers. You could leave us a voicemail. That number is 443-300-8908. You can even mention in that voicemail whether or not you'd want to appear on the show so we can upload that recording and we can listen and all of our listeners can hear your own thoughts.
Yeah, really contribute, right? Another way you can really contribute to what we're doing here is to rate us on iTunes. That's the best way to put our channel out there, to be a part of the growing community of podcasts, but also reach people that we ordinarily reach. You know, Alex, I looked it up the other day. We are in the top 200 education podcasts out
That's
there on
really
iTunes.
Awesome.
We are in the top 200 education podcasts out there. So our goal is to hit that new noteworthy so we can share and grow our community as much as possible. But, hey, I'm glad for you guys who've been rating us and supporting us, giving us those 5 stars, letting us know on iTunes how we can improve. Those have been really helpful and really encouraging, too. So, on that note, thanks so much for being part of the Two Coffee Teacher podcast today. Keep up the good work in the classroom, guys, without needing that second cup of coffee.
Thank you very much. Have a great one, and we will see you again in a couple weeks.
I can see the sweet sun pouring down in the strawberry sky. Tall grass dancing down by the St. John's River side. And I can see Maggie running through the fields full of wild.